Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, September 18th, 2023. Chair Samford, it is 4 p.m. Shall we begin the meeting?
Yes, please, with a fully packed agenda. Yes, we need to do that and end at 6.
Okay, thank you. To begin with, as you all just heard, this meeting is being recorded and we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. I just want to quickly share some helpful tips for everyone who's joining through phone calls. If you'd like to make any comments, you can unmute yourself and mute yourself again by pressing star 6. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute and unmute yourself. And if you want the reactions, click on the raise hand icon. That will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be very helpful because then we can eliminate any external noise as everybody can stay on mute and unmute as needed. And we can take participants' comments in the order received, and we can have one speaker at a time. We are just reminding that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name when you speak, because it helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. And when people listen to audio afterwards, it also helps them knowing who the speaker was at that time. Chair Samford, if you permit, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then take the AAC roll call.
Please do. Thank you.
Great. So when I start reading the agenda, I would quickly share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. Okay, and I believe my screen is visible now. All right. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will take the AAC members roll call. At 4:05, Chair Samford will go through the motion of reviewing and approving today's meeting agenda, followed by last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have reports, commendations, customer service, and any outreach. At 4:15, we will have awards, which includes Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, Allison Anderson will give us an update about Metro Access web booking. At 4:35, we will have Mr. Blake, Ms. Anderson, and Chair Samford discuss telephone response time update. This is about where is my ride. At 4:55, Mr. Blake will share some information about Silver Line Extension service area. And at 5:10, Ms. Williams-Hall, Director of Metro Access, will give information about Metro Access upcoming OCC service improvement. At 5:30 p.m., there's going to be an update about Metro Access Garmin device. That will be discussed by Mr. Blake, Ms. Anderson, and Chair Samford. At 5:35, we will begin the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen. And to begin the roll call, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura. Darnese Bush.
Present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles? I believe Vanessa is connected with us.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Present. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take myself off mute.
No problem. Thank you. Rico Dancy? I believe Rico is connected on the meeting. Tawan Farmer? Tawan is connected on this meeting. Debbie Fisher. Debbie informed that she might be a little late joining. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsom.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present from Nottingham, where it is 1-1.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samaford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Samaford, I can share information about public comments before we begin that, if you would like.
Sure, please go ahead.
Now, okay. So I would just remind any members of the public, if you'd like to make comments, you would be allotted 3 minutes. That's just to make sure that everyone who would like to make comments gets an opportunity to do so. If we have any remaining time and you'd like to make additional comments, we can certainly come back to you. I will try to give you a heads up for 30 seconds before the time ends. However, that may not always be possible, but you will be alerted at the end of 3 minutes. We do have a visual presentation today, and Ms. Williams-Hall will be describing it in detail for the convenience of our members and customers who are blind or have low vision. And at this point, Chair Summerford, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. So first, we're going to go through a review and approval of the meeting agenda. Is there any motions for any changes or anything else to this fully packed agenda? If not, can I get a motion to move the meeting agenda as is?
Paul, this is Ms. Rush. If there's time, I would like to discuss or be brought up to date about the pamphlet that's sent out when you apply for Metro Access.
All right, I can squeeze you in when we talk about OCC improvements when she gives her Ms. Williams-Hall gives her presentation. That might be an appropriate time to probably bring that up at the same time.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So can I get a motion to move this agenda with the amendment that I have?
This is Rico. Ms. Rush?
Yes?
I move to accept the agenda.
As amended. Okay, that'll be as amended. Yes, okay. Can I get a second?
Second, Darnese.
Thank you. All those in favor of the amended agenda, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, aye. Abstentions, the motion carries. We will move with the amended agenda with the item that Ms. Rush discussed. That'll be integrated as part of, she'll bring that up during Ms. Williams-Hall's in terms of improvements. That little piece with eligibility to ask that at that time. Next is the minutes from the previous meeting in July. Can I get a motion to approve the July 2023 minutes? Are there any changes, objections, additions to those minutes?
This is Rico.
Yes.
And I move to accept it.
All right, can I get a second?
Second.
Thank
you.
This
is Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy. All those in favor approving the July 2023 subcommittee minutes, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, nays, abstentions, the motion carries. Next is accommodations, customer service outreach, Ms. Anderson and company. Please come on the mic.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access. Excuse me. It is my pleasure to introduce Dolan Chittums, I believe, here with MTM to provide the customer service report from our last session. Is Dolan on? Okay, I'm not sure. Is there someone from MTM that's going to provide the report this afternoon?
Allison, I don't see Dolan, and I'm not sure who else might be joining. Do you know the name?
I thought I saw Kiana on.
Allison, this is Terry and Williams Hall. I'm here also. I did see that Brad Leonard was on, their data analyst. I'm not sure if he's poised to give that information. Brad, are you prepared to give out that report?
Ms. Williams Hall, Keonda here. I apologize. Dolan was having issues getting logged on. He's coming to my computer to read the report.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello. Good afternoon. There were no public comments to address as no meetings were held in the month of August. During the month of August, Metro Access received a total of 468 commendations. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Question, what about for the month of July itself?
July, 1 second. Yes, for the month of July, there were 412 commendations.
Were there any customer issues or complaints during the month of July to report out?
There were no public comments.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Anderson, with customers. With the rest of the pieces.
Yes, sir. So this afternoon, we have leadership from TransDev to present the Michael Wilson as well as the AAC Safety Award.
All right. Oh, was there any outreach going on during the summer?
Oh, I am so sorry. No, we did not have any outreach happening since our last session. However, we do continue to receive customer reports and input that we, of course, follow up with and make sure to take care of and get resolved.
All right. You can go ahead with the award, the honorees and awards. Go ahead.
All right. TransDev? Do we have Mr. Brian or Mr. Ennis on the line from TransDev?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. I apologize.
All right. There you go. Thank you.
So here we are live from TransDev. So I had the pleasure of introducing everyone to Mr. Antoine Blanchard. Mr. Blanchard has been with us for 6 years, and he exemplifies both excellent customer service and superior safety. So we want to present Mr. Blanchard with both the AAC Access, Metro Access Safety Award, as well as the Michael Wilson Award. So Mr. Blanchard would also be receiving a paid day off for his efforts, and we appreciate his service.
Right. Well, a hearty congratulations to Mr. Blanchard. I'm sure well-deserved. And Mr. Semelford, did you have any words?
Thank you for all the service that you give. He definitely deserves a paid day off as a reward. did you have a comment, Ms. Williams Hall? I saw your hand up.
No, I was trying to send a hand, a virtual.
Oh, okay.
Congratulating him. Yes, thanking him for his service.
Thank you so much.
All right, and then I see L. Parker with a hand. Oh, that's a same thing. Okay, got it. All right. Next, I guess Ms. Anderson, we're gonna dive into the agenda to talk about improvements with Metro Access web booking. I'm gonna let you give your presentation, and then I'll give some feedback from what I see on my end as a customer.
Okay, hello, everybody. My name is Terry Williams Hall. I'm director for Metro Access. And although Allison is listed on the agenda, I'll be addressing this ongoing concern.
Oh,
Ms.
Okay.
Anderson, yeah, she has exerted tireless effort to upgrade and resolve these issues. I think most of you who've had a problem know how hard she's been working to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To bring everyone up to speed, several months ago, while working on this project, our team discovered that WMATA's environment had two database-related issues with version 18. After prolonged review and testing, the Trapeze development team identified and resolved those issues and is now currently undergoing code review for those solutions. Now, once that is complete, the Trapeze QA teams will begin regression testing to ensure that the build is ready for a release. Right now, the targeted release date is Monday, October 2nd, barring any snafus that might occur during testing. So we're aware and we know just how long this has been ongoing, have been working very, very closely with Trapeze, have finally isolated what the problems are, and are now working toward getting a solution in place that should be ready for production by October 2nd.
Now, what I will say is a glow is the fact that off-peak hours, when me as the customer going in, because I'm a person who primarily almost 99% web books for all my trips, it does really work when it's, you know, middle of the night, in the evening, early in the morning. But I pretty much have isolated with trial and error around it between 2 and 5 o'clock. It's almost difficult to even get into web booking where it intermittently goes out with the maintenance page in red.
Yes.
Going back and forth. And I guess that's everyone's trying to use the resources during that sort of peak hours. Sometimes in the mid morning, but more so between that 2 and 5 cluster Monday through Friday. But the I guess the beginnings of that fix that you have going on is working, because at least now when I do go into webbook, it the solution comes back faster when I ask for a negotiated time to book a trip. And when I toggle back and forth, I want to choose 15 minutes later before, it doesn't time out on me. I have to go back and begin the process, or it's so extremely slow. It takes forever. But I will say that when the issue does happen, as I described in previous emails, it's to the point where it does affect the IVR system, where that I know I have a trip that day because I copy and paste them like last Friday. And I go into the IVR to confirm the trip. And during that period of intermittent outage, it's down. It says I have no trips, even though a trip does exist. So it has that type of effect. The other unintended effect it has on the system is during that peak time, if I have a live trip that's coming to me, when it gives me that robocall for when the driver hits the arrive button, it comes back kind of in the nonsense type of message, or it just automatically hangs up instead of, I already know that it's my window, the driver is right there as I'm standing outside, but it doesn't give that automated message, hello, your ride's outside, the pickup window begins. It gives either some kind of garbled type of message when it's out. So it does create that type of issue on both of those ends, I've noted. I don't know if you got that feedback before.
No, we did. And both of those issues are related to those two database issues that I mentioned earlier, that there's intermittent database locking, and that's resulting in the long turn that it takes for you to get your information back with booking your trip. And the other is intermittent database connection issues. That's what generates the maintenance screens that you sometimes see. So mm-hmm. All of those issues that you talked about are directly related to these. These are a part of the upcoming fix. They're writing the code for the solution now. And we believe that by October 2nd, that we'll have this fully, fully functional. You'll be the first one that Allison will call to say, can you test and
yes.
tell us.
Because I'll tell you exactly where the errors are. I'll tell you. But like mm-hmm. I said, wherever temporary fix, it is working. But my advice is, I don't know if you want to. I know y'all been telling customers to book earlier in the day. Maybe say mm-hmm. book online. You know, it definitely comes back faster and works much better when it's in evening times, middle of the night. Mm-hmm. I know that's not people's style, but you may tell people if you're trying to book before 4:30 online or change a trip, it's better possibly, I know, to call in versus trying to book online and you're just totally out of a trip and just waiting okay. that queue.
So we'll take some time to come up with some language to put on when that maintenance message comes up. Until that's totally repaired. But hopefully after October 2nd, which is only a few weeks away, we won't have any more of the service not being available when the customer goes online to book.
All right, because I know y'all trying to find solutions with reservations, and I want yes. this to be an open option for the customers who feel comfortable in using that option, even though it's yes. not their primary. Ms. Rush, you have a question about this topic? Go ahead.
Well, this is affecting people trying to call in that don't do it online booking. They're being disconnected, or they're being dropped. It's not just the online booking. It's affecting the system to book a trip.
So this specifically that we're talking about now, Ms. Rush, is specific to web booking.
Now, the issue I think you're talking about, Ms. Rush, is the fact that's a whole subject we're going to talk about is when mm-hmm. we call into, you know, just the system to either do reservations or where my ride, where it takes more time. But that's a separate issue we're addressing next on the agenda.
People get disconnected. Yeah.
All right. But we're addressing that one next.
Okay. Thank All you. Right.
So on this topic of web booking specifically, are there any questions for those who use it or about this topic before we move into the next one? All right, hearing them, we're going to then move into the next topic about when people call in to the system, I think, and this is where I think most people, customers hopefully on here will be able to give some feedback is, right now, I know y'all try to have, you know, calls answered within 3 minutes. I know y'all been working on that, and it was good all the way up into the last meeting where, you know, people can call, well, I personally can call in, and it's within 3-4 minutes, someone responds from Where's My Ride? It seems like this summer is taking, on average, sometimes, especially during peak times, 5, 10, 20 minutes to reach somebody. And I know that's not where y'all want it to be. I know y'all have improved in your stats over July and in June and July, but we would love to hear what innovative things, I think Mr. Blake has said, that y'all trying to do to help alleviate that issue.
Well, yes. And you have and we're going to call on the manager of the call center, Ms. Nicole Ridgway, who's online. And we want her to share the challenges she has faced this summer and her commitment to improving the quality of service. But I do have to say now again, Mr. 74, 10 and 20 minutes on hold for a reservation or even Where's My Ride? That might be a little exaggeration. I'm not saying it's never happened, but let's be clear. Our goal is to answer every call within 2 minutes, not three. We want to be answering in 2 minutes. And I know that if you wait 4 minutes, it feels like an eternity, because that's how I get impatient when I'm calling a business and want to get a quick answer. But I just want us to know when the numbers are, well, you have the report. I think it was 85%. Certainly beneath our standard of 95%, but just want to make it clear, if anyone ever experiences a 10-minute hold, we definitely need to hear about that, and I want to hear about that. No. And I'm trying to get the call center to provide data, not only in terms of the average, but the extreme on-hold calls in terms of individual calls. So that's my part of it, to eliminate those extreme calls. Will every call be under 2 minutes? No. Again, our goal is 95%, but there should be no call waiting for 5, 10 minutes or 20, as you said.
But I'm not exaggerating. There, like during peak times between that 3 and 6 hour, like I did last Friday, it was like going on 15 or so minutes before someone responded. That is fact.
Okay, I'm hearing you
during
I'm
the peak times. The data.
Okay, and I see Ms. Williams Hall wants to chime in before we go to the call center.
Yes, so I will say again, this is Terry Williams Hall, director for Metro Access, that as a rule, typically calls don't extend that long. But Mr. Semaphore, full disclosure here, we know that there are periods during the day, especially on Where's My Ride, where you can be on hold for 10 minutes and as much as 15 minutes. That does not happen often, Mr. Blake. I have to tell you, on the specific days that Mr. Semaphore referenced, we did go back, we did take a look, pulled in some interval reports, and in fact saw periods where that has occurred, and on some other random days. But hopefully that's what Ms. Ridgway is going to address when she responds. I know that we're doing some very creative things to work towards that issue and some others, but I won't get in front of her. I'll allow her to share those details with you.
Go ahead, Ms. Ridgway. Oh, hold on. We're going to let Metro Access Management give their presentation about this, and then I will start taking questions from committee members.
Go ahead, Mr. Blake. I know I was going to say it.
No, that's another initiative. She's going to present that in a second. That's another initiative that we're trying. But again, we're talking about the day-to-day answering. And yes, again, can something happen? But the presentation of this is an ongoing, regular, daily occurrence. We need to just be careful with how it's presented to the world in that regard. And that's the point I'm trying to get to. But tomorrow, let's just stick with one day at a time. Tomorrow, Ms. Nicole Ridgway, please tell the chairman, members of the AAC, the riding public, and all the stakeholders listening all around the world, what are you going to do with your team tomorrow to ensure that there is not a single call on hold longer than 4 minutes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Blake, and thank you, Mr. Semaphore, and good afternoon, everyone, members of the committee, Ms. Williams Hall, and all of the participants. My name is Nicole Ridgway, and I am the general manager for MB Transportation. We are responsible for leading the activities at the Operations Control Center, which includes the telephone response efficiency. So first, I do want to just make sure that we are always trying to work diligently to, you know, answer the calls less than the time frame that's stipulated, the two minute time frame. I think Ms. Williams Hall would say that, you know, we want to answer them below 30 seconds, definitely. So, and I do have some stats because I know in the last meeting that we had, there were some questions about the average speed to answer. I do have that in front of me from the joint meeting that was held earlier this month, and I'd be more than happy to share that information with you. But specifically to address what are we doing here? So one of the things that we have been doing is that we've been really aggressively hiring people. We've increased our hiring numbers so that we can pad our staffing with regards to making sure that we have more than enough people. We've hired probably about 56, I believe, people since July 31st. They're in different stages of either training or within their introductory period. We have also, along in doing that, we are moving towards some specialization that we used to do actually when I was OCC director and back in 2016, where we are looking to provide some specialization in the dispatcher role. So what that looks like on an everyday basis is that we would have dispatch agents who would specifically be responsible for answering customer calls that come in, passengers who ride Metro Access, and working with them exclusively. And those dispatchers that are Working with the base would be focusing on operators, operator interactions, along with working with the service delivery provider bases as well.
All right.
But just one last follow-up. So in doing that, again, we're targeting, because now it's not just the average. And again, we're short of the average to begin with. But Mr. Semaford is pointing out, and I have to just say again for the record, some one-offs, because I think we need to quantify it. Because maybe I'm saying it's one-offs. Maybe we need to quantify it. Mr. Semaford and Ms. Williams-Hall said, yeah, there are occasions. Well, what's the quantity? Now, one bad example is not good, but is Mr. Semaford a representative of everybody? And this is happening hundreds of times a day that people are waiting, 10 minutes? Or is it a smaller number? Is the efforts that you're describing, Ms. Ridgeway, efforts that are going to virtually eliminate any holds over 4 minutes?
Yes, they should, because we're basing our scheduling. We actually we use call center scheduling principles, and so what we're doing is that we've seen a lot of increases in the call volume recently. We're actually heading towards pre-COVID levels. So with that, we in our new schedule bit that actually we're doing on Friday, the way that we have conducted that, again, we're separating for dispatch specifically, we have separated out looking at the call volume that is coming in through Where's My Ride calls and making sure that we're adequately staffed for that, as well as in addition to making sure that we have the proper coverage to monitor operator movement in the field. So we have gone from, for specific numbers, with dispatchers doing both tasks within that dispatcher job category. Now that we're specializing, we've gone from 55 base staff for dispatchers to well over close to like 90, 92 now. So, and we are on our way to getting there. We have about 70, I believe it was 74, 76 dispatchers right now, like I said, that are in different stages of either actually being incumbents and, seasoned employees, and as well as having new hires that are staffed.
Okay, thank you. And then, Mr. Chairman, I do want to remind you, because I see a couple of members who want to speak, mm-hmm. that last summer when we went through this, so this is kind of seasonal, I offered the idea that my bank does for me, good or bad, where we said we would have a dedicated line and we would call customers back. Now, please keep in mind, there was no vote or anything, but members express grave dislike with that notion. They don't like to be called back. So we didn't follow that approach, and that would eliminate the on hold, because if there was an on hold, the answer team, if you will simply answer and give you the option to be called back in the order that your call was received. But recognizing the team, or excuse me, the members and the public in general did not fully embrace that, we've going to go to a different approach. However, I just wanted to share just a reminder, we do have a solution that can in fact eliminate that, but if we don't want to force that on the customers, if it's the advice of the committee that that's not the direction you would like to see the agency go, as you expressed last summer. And now I think we can turn to what you were about to ask Ms. Williams-Hall to present on. Oh, but I know you have, oh, sorry, you have two members who want to communicate on this.
Okay, Rico, I saw your hand first, and please, the comments need to be specific to this topic. Go ahead.
No, this about not on this topic. This is about the driver.
Can we make sure you're on a public comment piece, and can we do it then? Because we need to stick to the topic and do the agenda. But I will make sure you'll be able to address it during public comment. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy. As it relates to this topic.
Yes. This is Sandy Newzel. Last Thursday, I was with a woman who was on hold when I first started talking with her. And the ultimate length of the call was another 20, 25 minutes beyond when I joined her. Now, I think there were intermittent conversational exchanges from the call center. She was calling in about where's my ride. What is your data point for being on hold? Do you consider that if you picked up the phone and said something to the customer at 5 minutes, but then they were put back on hold and later there was more conversation, if her total call was 25 minutes, but you, the call center, spoke to her at 5 minutes, as an example, what would you put that in your database? Would you say that was a 5 minute response, or would you say that was a 25 minute response?
That would have been a 5 minute response, which would have exceeded our goal of 2 minutes. Yes.
Okay.
Let's use a different example. Though, let's say we would have answered in 2 minutes, but then the total call would have exceeded the 25 minutes you're pointing out. Yes, that call would have been answered within our desired goal time of 2 minutes, but then it may have been extended as the staff is researching what is the issue, trying to reach the operator, et cetera, et cetera. So no, the measure is how quickly does someone from Metro, or in the future perhaps something from Metro, answers the customer's call and begins to do something about what the customer is addressing.
Okay, that's a wonderful statistic, but as a customer, if it takes 25 minutes to resolve where's my ride and I'm actually going to get a Metro Access ride to leave the doctor's office and get home before dark, the customer is going to remember the 25 minutes, not the 2 minutes. Okay. I just want to make that point.
Yep. No, I'm totally with you. Either way, waiting for the first call, for the first answer 25 minutes, or the totality of the call being 25 minutes, is an extremely frustrating proposition. Yep. But Ms. Nuzo and the customers, I do have to say, answering a call within 2 minutes should not be a problem for Metro Access. I'm going to say that firmly. I cannot always guarantee you that we can resolve whatever issue is being raised within 2 minutes. I can't make that promise, because every issue really is its own situation. With better technology and more tools that we're trying to add, hopefully we can resolve all the calls in a very short amount of time. That is absolutely our goal. But answering and resolution, yeah, they're kind of separate. But like you said, as a customer, if I'm on the phone with the bank for an hour trying to cut out 75 cents in fees that they charged me last week, as I did, it's frustrating, but I got my 75 cents back. But I hear your point, though.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. I see a customer's hand up. Is this related to this topic, Gwendolyn?
Yes, it is. My experience is that I take Metro Access between the hours of 12 midnight and 1, and I call where's my ride. The first person that picks up, right, they answer within within a minute or so. But then when I need to be transferred to a supervisor, especially on the weekends and holidays, during those days, my time from waiting for a supervisor to pick up goes into minutes, more than 2 minutes. So my question would be, does that time include both calls, or does it just include the original person that I talked to?
Right, it's the original call. So you call in. Now the question would have to be, and we don't have to resolve it here, especially for the matter, but so the first, to answer your question, yes. If, as you point out, you call in, where's my ride? And that person answers in a minute or two, but then you have to be transferred to a supervisor. If there's a systemic issue that is causing your particular trips to have to constantly be transferred to a supervisor, that's probably a service issue that we need to address with respect to your trip, so that when you do call in for Where's My Ride, the dispatcher should be empowered enough with a basic situation that he or she should be able to resolve your problem or your information, whatever's happening there. It should not take transfers to supervisors for basic Where's My Ride or even reservation calls. So that's another challenge. But yes, when you're waiting for the supervisor who may be helping another customer at that moment, that does not count as being a late pickup in terms of the phone answer goal. That goes back to the point Ms. Newsel was just making. You got answered right away, but then you have to wait for the supervisor and you're getting frustrated and it's not a positive experience. But I would hope that we could figure out what's going on that a customer, we want all our customers to have their calls resolved by the dispatcher and only have the most significant serious of issues have to go up to a supervisor, because that would in fact create longer phone time for a customer.
All right, thank you.
Now, and I would just say if Miss, because that was Miss Bush, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
No, that was
Gwendolyn Smith.
Gwendolyn Smith.
I apologize. Miss Smith, if you want to call me one day this week, tomorrow or so, and let me just make, because I don't like getting into personal call situations on the public meeting. If you want to give me a call and let me get some examples of challenging situations that require a more frequent supervisory involvement, I would be happy to learn about it so that I and the team can engage in the training, follow up, or whatever is necessary to help alleviate the number of times you have to speak to a supervisor.
Ms. Bush, as it relates to this topic, and then we're going to move on. Go ahead.
Basically, I had the same problem as that young lady and Paul. During the middle of the day, I noticed if I schedule early in the morning, I don't have that many problems with my trips. But anything after 12, it seems that the drivers are always behind. And
So is this related to this topic about calling into Where's My Ride?
Yeah, because when I call in, I try not to call in. When I call in and schedule, I have to stay on the phone a long time during certain times of day, which I really don't mind. But when the trip is already scheduled and I call in to find out where's my ride, I have to stay on the phone and then they have to speak with the supervisor. And usually I don't call in until it's at least 20 minutes in for the trip to have arrived. And then they will try to they'll put me on hold. Then they'll try to find the driver. They say the person's coming in 5 minutes and all that, and that's not true. And then the driver
But how long is the hold is the question. Huh? How long is the initial hold? I think we're trying to gauge and find out.
The initial hold is usually like 4 to 5 minutes, up to 10, before they decide that they're going to send an Uber or something.
No, when you first call, how quickly is the phone answered by a person?
To make the schedule or during the schedule?
Oh, anytime. We want to hear your horror stories. Yeah, when you're calling in that middle of the day and you want that Where's My Ride, is the phone picked up
within 2 minutes?
Or
it's on average 5 minutes.
There we
You've
go.
Been waiting That's 5 minutes, you say, your calls.
Yeah, on average.
For somebody to answer your call.
Right.
Okay. Now that doesn't, okay. And I'm not doubting it. We'll look at it and have to see, because that doesn't.
Something that you can look at from last week and this week. So I'll call and give you the time.
Because we're looking at that initial call in, how long it's taking just to reach a person.
And then one last thing, though, Paul, since it's up, I'm just signing up. Okay. Ms. Ridgway, customer, I mean, we've given them, we provided dispatches with Find a Ride, which we've now ported to customers with Find My Ride, and nearly 800 have signed up and are using that. So that's a good thing. But please explain, why would a dispatcher, why would a customer, excuse me, need to speak to a supervisor if they're just simply inquiring about where's my ride? What is it that the dispatchers are passing on and not resolving right at their desk?
Now, I will say, when I've asked for a supervisor, generally it's been like, for instance, they send me an Uber link and it has the incorrect drop-off information. And I say, I need a supervisor to fix it. So they send me to a supervisor because it's incorrect.
So going forward, so we gotta set, and I'm trying to work with their team over there and Ms. Ridgway's employees in a situation like, because I had a caller earlier today. She called me this morning before I even left home, and she said she had the wrong address on her Uber lane. So in the future, Mr. Semaford, and you're going to be hearing this more from the team over there than, you know, coming from you as the individual. If you call and say, whether it's Uber or just a regular Metro Access van or sedan, my pickup address is incorrect, my drop-off address is incorrect, you give the dispatcher the correct information and we move on. You don't need to speak to a supervisor for that. The dispatcher can pass that information on to the Uber information agent, who will then update your Uber link, and you'll get a new link for that. So that doesn't require a supervisor.
Well, when I mentioned what the issue is, they just automatically transfer me because they're not equipped to deal with
it. Right, and that's why I said we're gonna work with Ms. Ridgway and her team to understand dispatchers have jobs to do and they need to do their jobs, and every call is not a supervisor call. And you being on hold because by the time that supervisor gets to you, we're not talking about the initial answer, of course, we moved on. But now, like Sandy mentioned, you're probably waiting 25, 30 minutes, perhaps, the case was depending on what's happening, just to tell the supervisor that your address should be the White House instead of the Senate because you're moving up in the world. But somebody can do that by just taking that message. Mr. Semaford is going to meet the president, not the Senate, you know, not a senator, and they can just change that. And that doesn't require a supervisor to speak to you personally.
Because I know you have agents that, you know, certain agents that are able to, you know, on the front end, able to do that and send the new link, but most of the time it's just, they're just, they're not able to do that, so they push it on to someone who can.
And you're absolutely right, they do, but what I want them to push is the information. They don't need to push your call. Mm-hmm. You should be able to give us that information and move on with your life and wait for that new link while they move forward with giving the agents who have direct access to the Uber or whatever resource. If it's just Metro Access, you don't have to speak to a supervisor to tell us that you have a change in address.
All right.
I just want you, and I'm saying it to you as the chairman, but I want you and other customers to be prepared for more of this type of information coming from the dispatcher, that you do not need to speak to a supervisor. You give me the information. We're going to politely handle this situation. You don't have to stay on the phone while we make these sort of administrative changes to your trip record for that day or another day.
Now, what if it's a situation of a safety issue they need to report? Would that be able to go to a dispatcher to handle?
Well, absolutely. That's a different situation. That's safe. Safety is not administrative. So, yes, there are circumstances that should be sent up to the supervisor all the way to Ms. Ridgway. But again, the example you gave, a customer has the wrong address or we took the wrong address, whatever the case may be. A change in address, a change in pickup time, certain things like that do not require direct customer supervisor communication on the phone line. That information will be sent through the system and your trip information can be updated.
Okay. All right, thank you. I see Ms. Coles and Ms. Sandy. I know you already spoke, so I'm going to go for Vanessa. We do need to move on with the rest of the agenda items. Vanessa, as it relates to this topic here, because we do need to move on to the next one. Is Vanessa there?
She's on mute right now. We have to take her off on mute.
Vanessa, can you unmute yourself?
If not, I will get back to her and go to Philippa.
In public comment.
I'll go back to Vanessa in public comment. Philippa, as it relates to this topic.
Philippa, you need to unmute yourself. There you go.
Sorry, it wouldn't allow me to unmute. Some message popped on the screen, but I was just going to quickly add my voice to the chorus that says that sometimes when I call for Where's My Ride, they're the ones who transfer me to a supervisor. They immediately say, well, let me get a supervisor. So I'm just adding my voice to that chorus.
No, and I appreciate that. I'm glad Ms. Ridgway is hearing this, because I've suspected some of this where the dispatchers, yes, they've been doing that. So we're going to change that. She needs to change that. Those are her employees. But we're going to send the message. It's pretty clear that there are a lot of situations that do not require supervisor involvement, but they're being involved either through faulty training or just word gets around in a workplace that says, hey, you can just give everything to the supervisor. You just answer the phone within 2 minutes and then go take a 15-minute break. Whatever the case may be, that has been a problem, and it's probably helping contribute to some of the concerns that Mr. Summerford and many of you have brought forward to begin with. We go through cycles in this business, and we've seen cycles with the phone lines. I'm hoping to eliminate the cycles, but one of the ways we're going to do that is through your feedback. We've got to change the behaviors of the dispatchers.
Chair Summerford, this is Anu.
Yep, go ahead.
Just a quick comment by Deborah Dunaway. She wrote a chat message saying that my initial hold when calling in has been as long as 20 minutes to get to a supervisor. Last night, Metro Access did not even show up to pick me up between 11:11 and 11:41, which is slightly different than the topic.
All right. So someone will get back to you, because I do need to move on and get get details.
But we did send an Uber, Ms. Dunaway. I mean, okay, but because I follow Ms. Dunaway's trips, rather I'm on vacation right in Cuba or right here in Baltimore. But yes, I hear you, Ms. Dunaway. We'll talk in a little bit, right, and we'll follow up with you about last night's trip, because I did see the Uber situation. So we'll talk, Ms. Please call me tomorrow, or I'll call you for sure.
All right. Next, I want to go to the Silver Line Extension. And Ms. Coles, we'll get you a public comment. So the presenter for that, we, as a committee, talked in July, and I think Pat Sheehan brought it up, wanting to make sure that we have, enough providers. I know right now, as you said previously, Mr. Blake, that with the Silver Line Extension since November 15th, we expanded to certain areas of Loudoun County within 3/4 of a mile, mainly the train stations that, most of the service we provide by Metro Access and Uber. Where are we possibly looking at maybe taxi cab providers or others that may service that area, or any other initiatives?
Now, you're speaking specifically of the Silver Line area?
Yeah, for, pickup, getting people in Loudoun County. Because I know the options right now would be either a Metro Access vehicle or Uber.
Well, no, not just that. I mean, there is some taxis. Well, the pickup is not necessarily in Loudoun County in the taxi, because it's just a long distance from their core base. But right now, yes, if you're traveling from Loudoun County, you're likely in a Metro Access vehicle or possibly an Uber. If you're traveling to Loudoun County, you can be in any number of taxis, or Uber, and of course on Metro Access. But keep in mind now, the vast majority of trips in Loudoun County are to Loudoun County from other areas that have an array of resources. Mm-hmm. Trips coming from Loudoun County are relatively small numbers, if you will, if you give a drift. So we have an abundance of vehicles up there. Are you suggesting we need more? I mean, I'm just trying to make sure I'm answering your question.
Because that was a concern of Pat Sheehan, I believe, and he's on this call. I remembered in July he brought that up.
You're right, Paul.
Yes, yeah, so go ahead, Pat. So, this is your baby.
Okay.
Help me out, please. Please remind me.
So the question, I think the overall question that I had was that, you know, we've expanded the service area to Loudoun County. Do we have sufficient resources allocated through Metro Access to cover the expansion from, what is it, West Falls Church or whatever, all the way out to Loudoun County?
All the way out. The answer is absolutely yes. There is more than enough resources. A couple of reasons for that. Partly, we just have good resources in the system now. As you know, we have an array of private companies. When I say private, the non-dedicated Metro Access type of companies that are not related to our service. And we have Metro Access, primarily the National Express Virginia base, handles all trips in that northern part of Virginia area. But I guess it's northern Virginia, but it's the southern, we're heading south in that case. But no, there's enough resources. And then also in addition, Loudoun County residents, they have the option to use Loudoun County paratransit for their local services. And therefore, with Metro Access serving in Loudoun County, 3/4 of a mile around the Metro Rail stations, the demand that has been generated for Metro Access in that area, again, is from the Paul. When I said, I'm teasing when I say Paul, but the areas of Prince George's, Virginia, Montgomery County, and D.C. that go out there. So it hasn't been a huge, huge spike in demand of new riders up in Loudoun County. So we have more than enough resources.
Okay, good. That was my question. I don't know that we had ever covered that before, even though the service has been out there for quite a while now. Thanks.
Yes, it's almost a year, isn't it, man?
That's what I was thinking. And we hadn't heard any issues, any problems, but I don't think the committee had heard any updates on that. So that's good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. No, thank you. I like what you said. I wish we could say that for the whole service area, but you know, we go in cycles, and we're gonna turn the whole area to Loudoun, right?
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Good.
All right, let me move on to the next big topic since we want to talk about is Ms. Williams-Hall. You are in about OCC service improvements, and Ms. Rush wants to kind of chime in on something kind of related to that as a, I think we're going to ask as a motion because she called me about it, but I'm going to let Ms. Williams-Hall go first and then Ms. Rush is going to chime in.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Again, Terry and Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access. Hello, Mr. Summerford, Subcommittee Chair, distinguished members and guests. Anu is going to share her screen, and she is doing so now. We're going to run through a presentation. I have the pleasure today of sharing some exciting news about upcoming customer service improvements in our Operations Control Center. We'll spend the next few minutes introducing our digital customer service agent. Next slide. On this slide, there's an image of a wheelchair customer exiting a WMATA van and another image of one of the E350 Metro Access vans. They are both included just to share images of the service in action. Now I will cover the purpose of the new digital assistant. So we've learned that there are times of the service day where customers have grave difficulty reaching our reservations team. Sometimes because of ongoing staffing and scheduling opportunities, our customers have to wait beyond the average 2-minute wait time. Well, we hope to utilize cutting edge proven technology to significantly reduce these wait times and provide a consistently high quality customer service experience. This digital assistant is the first of several planned OCC communications improvements. Next slide. On this slide, there is the image of a thinking machine. That is, it is a robot sitting at a computer. Meet Tim, the thinking machine. Tim is a digital assistant that uses natural language based on artificial intelligence to address Metro Access service requests. Initially, Tim will respond to simple, repetitive customer requests whenever an agent is not available to immediately respond, simply because they're assisting other callers. Metro Access has partnered with Replicant, a leader in the AI customer service field, to deliver this new service to our customers. Tim will provide high quality, natural language customer support. Next slide. Now this slide shares an image of an actual OCC reservations agent in action and will discuss the inclusion of the digital agent in the OCC. Now, while we anticipate an improved customer service experience, Tim will not replace any call center agents. Instead, Tim augments existing agents and support by ensuring that calls are answered quickly and consistently. Agents will still accept calls and will be available for any request that Tim cannot quickly answer, or even provide service to customers that prefer to only interact with human agents. Callers will be given the option to speak with an actual agent at the beginning of each call and can request to speak with live agents at any point during the call. Next slide. This slide shares text discussing what customers can expect when interacting with the digital assistant. Our customers can expect an improved customer service experience through consistent, clear interactions. The digital agent offers a fast, convenient means of booking trips. It will address the bulk of our calls that present quick, easy solutions, freeing up our agents to handle more complex trip requests. As the system matures in its understanding of our customer needs, it will adjust to handle more complex requests. Next slide. Here, this slide shares an image of a senior female making a phone call. Here's where we will share an audio version of what our customers can expect. Let's listen to a typical call handled by our digital assistant.
This is, and I'm going to stop sharing for a quick moment and share another audio. So bear with me for a quick moment.
You've reached Metro Access's virtual assistant for ride booking. I will quickly book your ride without any wait time for an agent, by which point your preferred time window might have been taken by someone else. To begin, what is your client ID?
48363.
Thanks. I got 48363. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What is the month and day of your birth date, ignoring the year?
January 8th.
I heard January 8th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Please hold while I pull up your account details. Okay, is the name on the account Daisy Duck?
Yes, it is.
Are you making a round-trip booking, a one-way booking, or something else?
One-way booking.
I see you frequently travel from Hyattsville City.gov. Going to Metro Headquarters Jackson Graham Building with no companions and no mobility aids, and from 6106 Helen Lee Drive, Clinton, going to 4100 Rolling Paddock Drive, Upper Marlboro, with no companions and no mobility aids, and two other rides. Which, if any, of these rides do you want to rebook?
The first one, please.
Do you want to book your ride for tomorrow, Saturday, September 16th?
Can I do Monday?
Thanks. I got Monday, September 18th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can I use the number you're calling from, 415-846-9391, as the best contact number for your ride?
Yep.
Do you want to provide a pickup time or drop-off appointment time?
Pickup time, please.
Using an exact time to the nearest 15-minute interval, such as 2 p.m., what is your preferred pickup time for your ride?
3 p.m.
Thanks. Give me a moment to find you the best possible time for your ride. It might take a few seconds. Thanks for your patience. I found a time window from 2:36 p.m. to 3:06 p.m. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's great.
Great. I'll go ahead and book that in for you now. Please note that you have booked a one-way ride only, and that you cannot book a ride on the day itself, so you will have to arrange your own transportation after your one-way ride. Before I provide you the confirmation of your booked ride, do you want to book any more rides?
No, that's it.
Great. I have booked your ride. Are you ready to note down the details?
Yes.
Your booking confirmation number is 5023-7170. This ride departs from Hyattsville City Gov 6505, Bellcrest Road, leaving Monday, September 18th between 2:36 p.m. and 3:06 p.m. It arrives at Metro Headquarters Jackson Graham Building 600, 5th Street Northwest. You are traveling alone. Your total fare is $4. To be paid using your EV wallet. Do you need me to repeat that?
Nope.
I can text you these details. Texts will cost your network carrier standard rate. Can I send the text?
Sure, thank you.
I just texted you the details to your phone. Did you receive it?
Yes, I did.
Before we go, on a scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being the best, how satisfied were you with this call?
It's a 5.
Thanks for calling Metro Access. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to our digital assistant. Wow. I'll happily take any of your questions now.
I will say that was impressive. I'm sure everyone else is going to have comments. My only question right now, so I don't want to steal from anyone's thunder, is how many trips can the digital assistant book in one call for a customer?
So as long as the caller is booking what's considered one-way trips or round-way trips, it can book up to, I want to say, 4 right now, with the possibility to advance beyond that. So we're just capturing data to make it a natural process. But right now, the customer can book up to 4 trips per call.
Okay. All right. I will entertain questions from other people. I see
Rico saying he likes it. He likes it. He likes it.
Okay. Great. Oh, I see your hand. So Anu's going to help me. I think I'm going to take the order of Doris, followed by Tawan, followed by Vanessa. Hopefully we get her this time. And Philippa, is that a reaction to raise her hand? Maybe. Then I'll take committee members, and then I will take members of the public as it relates to this topic specifically. So go ahead, Doris.
Thanks, Paul. I was just curious about how, if at all, this system is going to interface with people who are deaf or significantly hard of hearing and use either video phone for the relay service and those are those two options are kind of quite different in some way.
Yes. So to begin with, the service is available. We are working very, very hard with this same provider to offer some new and differing services for our customer base that would include SMS and text service. So we would encourage anyone right now interested in utilizing said service to use that once that's available. We're still in the developing phases with regard to that. So we're going to continue. Our goal is to get it through the TDDY service also, so you can utilize the relay service, and we are working towards that end.
The other question that I have is, it appears that this is like some of the digital services being used by at least the biggest taxi cab company here in Northern Virginia, and maybe it's used in other places. But I'm curious, in that system, they're using, how do I say this? They use options, and they allow you also to punch in. So you can either say, you know, yes or no, or punch one or two or whatever the options are. You can also, if they have you in their system, then it will say, do you want to be picked up at 1550 Crystal Drive, press two if you just want to be picked up at another place, and then you have to, will it have features like that, that it'll store information about where it picks you up, and all you have to do is say yes or no, or push a button, whichever.
Yes, we are capturing and constantly looking at your trip data. So we are going to present to you your most frequent trips over the last 30 days as a rebook option. So you probably heard the digital assistant offer the first two, and based on the caller's response, they could go down to, I think it's going to share the top four most recent options. Alex, can you confirm that for me, please?
Yep, that's correct. We provide the frequent address, frequently taken trips based on the frequency. Yes. So, yep, that's correct.
And let me introduce, that is Alex Hildebrandt. He's one of the partners with the company that we are utilizing to install this service.
Yep. Hey, everyone. Alex Hildebrandt. I'm a project manager with Replicant. So nice to meet all of you.
Thank you for providing what could be a valuable tool. Tawan, you're up next, and please keep your comments, if possible, up to 3 minutes, because we got to get through a lot of people here and then public comments.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
Go ahead.
I'm here. Sounds like an excellent product. I'm looking forward to utilizing the service. My question kind of relates to that last topic, so we can transition into that. Obviously, we're using frequent addresses at this time, at least in this phase. Is that the assumed expectation? There will not be the option built in where you are manually verbalizing location requests, like I request to go to somewhere, let's say that's not in my top four. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're saying? At least in the initial stage, it will not have that functionality quite yet.
No, that will be available.
So I will be able to say, hey, I'd like to go to 1234 Third Street, yes, Southeast, which is not on my list, my frequently, yes, used list.
As a matter of fact, if they offer you the first two, well, the first thing is they're going to offer you, I see that you've been at this location, and they'll name the first two that are the most recent. Would you like to book to one of these locations? When you say no, then it will ask you, is this a new address location, something to that effect, or it might go to the next two. So depending upon your answer, but you can absolutely book a trip you've never booked before.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I will pass it back to you, Paul.
All right. I saw Miss Vanessa. You can go ahead with your comment as it relates to this topic. And yes, I still have you on public comment for the other one, but address this topic only with this.
Thank you. This is Vanessa. I had to switch to my smartphone. But sounds like an excellent product. I'm impressed.
Yes, this is we are hearing some feedback.
Okay.
So you're still kind of echoing.
Yeah, I need to move away from my computer. I need to move away from my computer. Is this better? Yep.
Okay, good. Yep, better.
Is this better?
Yep.
Okay. So I had three questions or concerns. First, does it put in comments, like sometimes I'm at places that have specific drop-off comments. My church has three doors that you can go into, so I have to give an explanation of, which door to take me to. And then the other thing is, what happens if the system goes down for the live operators? Will this system kick in for the whole service, or everybody goes down? And then I had a third question. Well, I'll go ahead and let you answer those.
Thank you so very much. Yeah. So to the first one with regard to comments. So what you just heard was a call that the customer frequently booked a trip that they frequently take. So their comments are typically already in the system specific to that trip. That's the only reason why we didn't ask if there were any specific comments with regard to that trip, because it's already in the trip history data. If this is a brand new trip that you have never taken before, then the system is going to ask you, are there any special instructions, pickup instructions, at which time you would give that information and it would be entered into the system.
Okay. And the other thing I did think of is if you don't like the time, how many times will it allow you to change your time?
You can negotiate. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You'll get three opportunities to negotiate your window. After which, the third one, if you're not satisfied, you can be will be transferred to a tier two technician that can further assist you. Not technician, tier two agent, I should say, that can further assist you.
So that's a four tries.
You would get another opportunity once the call is transferred if you want to, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. And then the last one about system outages, because you said that kind of picks up to help out the agent. So what happens if their system goes down?
So it depends on the reason for the outage. Okay, so in most cases, we would be able to transfer everything over to the digital assistant and they could resolve. If there is something more global going on that's interfering with the telephony service in general, that might pose a problem even for the digital agent. Alex, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, and I'll say, we have continuous monitoring for the thinking, and this might answer your question. We have continuous monitoring for the digital assistant. So if anything were to, if there was an outage, our employees, we have a specific team that's dedicated to being on call and monitoring that. So if something goes out, which it very rarely happens, they're alerted immediately and get online and they'll fix it. So there shouldn't really be any outages from the digital assistant side. So that answers your question.
But Terry, and I think to go to Vanessa's question, thank you for that answer, Alex. That was great. But I think, Terry, and to go to the question, I believe Vanessa is asking, if I'm wrong, she'll definitely correct me. Is the digital assistant connected to the Metro system, in that if the call center goes down, and while we're working to, we have an absolute strong continuity plan so that people can get on other phone lines, what have you. But if the Metro office building that we're in right now goes down, will Tim be on a separate network, if you will, and therefore still be taking calls, or is it tied to our building here?
So not tied to the building for sure. So if something happens and we can't access the building, Tim will absolutely step in until all of the agents get home and get logged into their system. He'll continue to support. I'm hedging here just a bit and leaning towards you, Alex, to clarify. If there's a problem with WMATA's telephony system, if our VIA system goes down and we're unable to receive incoming calls, you know, something like that might pose an issue. Or because, you know, Mr. Blake, we also have our backup business continuity web-based cloud system. So as long as we could route those calls to Replicant, the calls can be answered.
Okay, thank you. So that's I think what we're trying to get to. So I hope that answered Ms. Cole's question, but if not, you know, again, please correct us.
Yes, thank you.
All right. I see Felipa's hand next, followed by Rico. Go, Felipa, as it relates to this topic.
Hello. Okay. I was just going to say, as an aside, Tim terrifies me because he looks like the Terminator when he's out of human form. But aside from that, Tim, it seems a digital
laughter, not frightening.
Yeah, that's why I was putting up the horror faces. It's like the Terminator's coming for us. But anyway, wanted to know. I didn't hear the answer to Vanessa's question about can you specify which entrance? Did it say that? Did they answer that?
Yes, ma'am, we can. You can absolutely give trip details. You can.
Okay. And then secondly, does this mean you still cannot book more than a week in advance, or does Tim allow us to book maybe 8-9 days in advance?
No, the rules are the same. It's still up to seven days in advance.
Don't tell Tim, he's limited. He might get you. All right. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Rico, did you have comments as it relates to this topic or question?
Is it an option for text and for deaf consumers?
So as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, that's not available right now. When this rolls out, it is not. But we are aggressively partnering with the same organization to develop SMS or text services that will be available. And to much to the same standard as this, as once we roll it out, we're rolling it out specifically initially for the Where's My Ride calls, you know, so that we can help augment some of the whole time stuff on the Where's My Ride side. But we will evolve into providing the service for reservations as well.
Okay, because Sorensen and Purple have a market department, if I understand. So how are y'all going to roll this out to consumers who are deaf or hard of hearing? And if most of them use TechSam, and I'm just curious now, how are they going to know about this service?
So we're not going to do any specific. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Blake, please.
Hold on. I just want to again point out when we're doing these, a lot of testing is involved. One thing we've learned, and I think Mr. Summerford can attest, I'm a person who likes to go big and go in all the way right from the start. And then we tried that on one thing, and we saw that Mr. Semaphore was getting calls at, you know, 2 a.m. for a trip that's 5 p.m. So testing is key. Much like we began the Where's My Ride, Find My Ride with a text-based type of option, this one is beginning with voice-based because it's simply the easiest way to get this thing launched. But we are vigorously working to launch a full blast SMS. As y'all know, Metro Access, with me here, we love text messages. We do it with Uber, we do it with taxis, we're doing it with Where's My Ride. And this is going to be rolled out through a SMS text-based service for not only for people who are deaf, but people who are low vision and need screen readers to read those plain text messages. So that's coming. But what we first want to do before we do that big blast rollout, we want to make sure that the system is working on a daily basis as good as you all just heard it, when hundreds or thousands of you are calling Tim at the same time, and he's handling all these different chores at one time. So once that is confirmed, believe me, as Ms. Williams Hall has stated, the SMS version of this is coming very, very soon.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Thank you. I'm going to go with Darnice, and then I see a member of the public that wants to speak. Go ahead, Darnice, as it relates to this topic, because I do want to get another topic in before we get to public comments.
Okay. This system, does it, or it works just like a person, it's automatically going to deduct from your money that you have available to pay for the ride or whatever?
Yes, ma'am, it will.
And it'll automatically call you to let you know that you made a reservation?
Yes, that feature is still available.
Okay. And what about if a person has a speech impediment? Is that going to be for the future too, where the person can actually type the information in if the system can't understand the language?
So I'll start off by answering it this way. Then I'm going to go to Alex to just make sure that I'm aligned with what our features are. But the artificial intelligence that is capturing is very, very, very intuitive to differences in language, such that even with a speech impediment, it's likely that the system can still understand what the caller is saying, especially if the caller is successful interacting with other agents aside from our digital assistant. So we feel strongly that we'll be able to properly interpret what the customer is asking for. With regard to typing in the information, though, let me segue over to Alex very quickly and find out about that functionality.
Yeah, we don't. You can, at certain points in the conversation with the client ID, for example, you can type that in on your phone, and then the digital assistant will take that information in and proceed with the call flow. But in terms of, we'd have to explore it, and if the capability doesn't exist to do the full conversation by typing it out, but it's the specific instances where you're asked for your client ID where you can type that in. Just like you would do if you're interacting with many, many interactive voice response systems that you call every day. You know, for example, if you call your bank and they say, press one to do this, and you have the ability to hit your keypad. So it's the same sort of thing with our digital assistant.
But can I, and Ms. Williams-Hall, just because I think Ms. Bush is bringing up a great point. Ms. Williams-Hall and Mr. Alex, just correct me on this. Again, going back to, if we just bifurcate a bit, this is the voice aspect. Mm-hmm. And the voice aspect to start is reservations, and we'll be moving to where's my ride once it learns about the complexities and pieces of that side of things. Mm-hmm. But when we launch the text base, we're going to launch the text base anticipating by then we have where's my ride. But the SMS service, again, where there is typing or voice input through a adaptive tool, that's where, when we get to booking trips through SMS, that's where the typing would be if a person doesn't wish to speak to a live agent or to Tim. Is that fair?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's what I was going to share, Mr. Blake, that the SMS service is the segue into typing your information into a device. It wouldn't be available on the telephony side, but would absolutely be available through SMS and text messages.
Okay. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
Before, Deborah, while we're talking about understanding language, does it do it in other languages such as Spanish, if it's a Spanish speaker?
Amaret.
Yes, we do offer the service in Spanish.
Ooh, okay. And Deborah, you're up last. Before I go into the next topic, as it relates to this topic, you have a comment? Because I saw
Chairman
your comments
Semaphore,
in the chat.
Chairman Semaphore, before you go to the last topic, I do want to extend an opportunity to members of the committee and the public to join in our end user testing before we go live.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But we have one more comment from Deborah as it relates to this topic. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out how to ask the question. The question I have is, I've got a medical reason I can't ride a van. I'm just gonna throw that out there. And I'm trying not to do the whole enchilada, just the part.
My question is this related to the topic that we're talking about?
Yeah, it is. Like very often when I'm booking something, because there's been some confusion with my file, whatever, that very often I'll, you know, say something about that I can't use a Metro Access van, and then it may or may not turn up, you know, everybody's nodding and going, yeah, I know what you mean. So my question is, can I, there's no way to ask that of this assistant. Okay. And so is that a situation where they can't really grab that? So I'd have to move on to somebody in person, or I mean, somebody voice. Do you know what I mean?
No, we're with you, Ms. Dunaway, and Ms. Williams, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but no, in this case, you will absolutely still share with the digital agent, which you would share with the human agent, that you prefer to be in a sedan, and you really want sedan only. And I know you and I have talked, you know, plenty of times, and we're working on that whole situation between preference and, you know, we don't need to get into it. But the point is, at the moment, and I don't want to scare anybody in the OCC side, at the moment, the digital assistant will simply be scheduling a trip. It's just replacing for the moment a human agent for the digital agent and taking the information you share. Maybe one day, who knows, the digital assistant will be booking and scheduling the trips. And that's where it will have to make the decision that, oh, I got to remember, Ms. Dunaway does not want to be on a van. So no matter what I do, I need to put her on a sedan. But that's not what's happening to start. So if you call in 2 weeks and the digital assistant answers, you absolutely can use it to book the trip, because you'll be giving the digital assistant the detailed information that you would also give in a human assistant.
Okay. Yeah. And just to dispel any illusion about this, this has to do with a physical accommodation, bad back problem. This isn't about a want versus a need. I'm just knowing that. Everybody doesn't know what this is about. Thank you.
We don't usually share personal. Yeah. But no, I'm just, So
I got you.
The digital assistant will answer. But before we go, Mr. Chair, because I don't want to brush over, Ms. Williams just brought up a very important point about the testing, and we kind of brushed over it. I hope you would, between Ms. Williams Hall, Ms. Anu, yourself, for the record, express how and who is going to collect the names and who's interested. How are we going to go about it? We don't want to brush over that before this meeting's over, please.
Okay.
If given, do I have the floor, Mr. Chairman?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So very briefly, we're looking for about 8 people to participate in our test. We're asking that Anu, that you send your information and interest to Anu if you're interested, primarily the members of the committee, but we are extending a few of those open opportunities to the first people from the public that asked to participate. And then we're going to set up a Zoom call early next week to go over the parameters of the test and what the expectations are. Very, very simple. There's about 4 or 5 scenarios that we're going to be testing. I do want to add that you just listened to one example of a call, okay? And just because the only reason why you didn't hear about wheelchair, mobility device, is because all the details for that particular caller was in their previous trip booking. So if that had been a caller who did not want to rebook a previous trip, then you would have heard all the conversations about, do you travel with a mobility device? Is there a PCA there? The same interactions that you would expect from a reservations agent, you would have heard from the digital assistant.
All right. Thank you so much. We do need to get to one quick thing, Ms. Rush. And I think this is more going to be on the eligibility and a request. Ms. Rush, are you online here?
Hello, this is Ms. Rush. My question is, If you are a new, brand new Metro Access applicant and you have been approved, when they send out your number, are they sending out the little tablet book or some kind of highlight information for the new user? The new user doesn't know anything about Metro Access. And are they receiving a booklet? If they are not, what happened to them?
So I guess the question is, because Ms. Rush brought this point up to me, and this is, I guess I saw Antoine on the call, Mr. Blake can chime in, is if you get a newly approved applicant, are we sending on top of the ID and the, you know, eligibility letter, are they getting a paper copy of A, the customer handbook, and that short little version guide that we worked on as a committee and that y'all have online, or are they directed to go online to get that information?
Do we have Mr. Johnson on?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yes, sir. So we're either giving it to them, routing them to the digital version, or they're getting a hard copy, the new customers. And then they're also available upon request.
So okay. Right now, it's automatically they're referred to a digital version, but they're not given a hard copy. That will have to be made upon request. Is that
we do a lot of times if the specialist speaks to the customer, and they a new customer, we send them a hard copy.
Okay, of both the regular customer guide and that customer pamphlet insert.
Is that all the time? Because I know some people who have been approved and they were not sent a hard copy. How would a new customer know there is a pamphlet that they should get? A blind person, you say you're going to do a digital copy in what form?
It's on the website, so they'll be given the link to the website, to the WMATA.
Okay,
website.
And a person that does not have a computer. No. That's what I'm trying to understand. How does a person that doesn't have a computer know about what do they automatically receive? I have a new person that has been approved and they did not receive anything. What they receive is the information from me. And then I said, wait a minute, I'm getting too many calls here. Wait a minute. So that's why I'm just asking.
Well, they just don't receive just some cards. It's on attached to an approval letter that explains the services. And so they can always get more information if they need it. But we generally send out to the new customers a hard copy or refer them to the link if they're computer savvy. But as far as those customers that did not receive a customer guide, I'll be happy to send them out to them if you have their names.
Okay, but if I hadn't brought up the question, what does a new customer receive?
They receive okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So they receive the a letter that explains the services that they qualify for with the ID card. And for the new customers, they get a customer guidebook.
But okay. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And what do the blind customers receive?
So that like I said, we will refer them to the website so they can, you know, the link to the website where they can review it.
If they are blind customers that don't even have a JAWS or computers.
Okay, well, if we haven't had that issue come up, I'd be glad to explore what we could do for those customers. But those are the two versions that we have. We have it, you know, on the website digitally and a hard copy.
Okay, you know how people who don't have computers or do not have JAWS.
I guess what you the are point, sure
is there a problem that you have encountered through your through your work that customers are not aware of their rights and privileges and the rules of Metro Access when they first join due to a lack of documentation or anything like that? Is there something specific you want us to address from real life concerns you've heard about?
I will get that list, but I just want to know that I want to be assured that all new applicants receive something that they will be able to know what is right or wrong or what is going on with Metro Access.
Okay, and that's fair. And I think we're doing that based on what Mr. Johnson is saying. And keep in mind, we believe in the electronic booklet because things change so much. And then what we do often is print out copies for those who request that as well. If you're talking about the essentials brochure, I cannot recall us printing up a new one in terms of hard copy in quite some time. So
I know.
That was a nice short brochure. But we believe, again, through time and how things are changing so fast, the electronic full Metro Access customer guide, which is constantly being updated as new information and new services, fare changes, and things like that are occurring, customers are being updated through the electronic version of the customer guide.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We have 19 minutes of public comment before we lose our interpreter, so we do need to begin with customer comment period. Anu, can you help me with this? Who do we already have scheduled, and who do we need to hear from?
Okay, so I would ask any members of the public, if you have comments to make, please raise your hand or send me a chat message so that we can take you in that order. Going with the members of the public first, Chair Summerford, I see Ansel Torres, followed by Gwendolyn Smith. And if we don't have any other members of the public, by the time we finish with these two members, then we will go to Rico and then Sandy Newsel.
I see a guest four with their hand up.
Yes, they just put their hand up. Thank you.
All right.
So Ansel Torres, Gwendolyn Smith, guest four, and you all each have 3 minutes. So please make sure that your comments are concise. Ansel Torres, go ahead. I'll start the timer when you start speaking.
Thank you. Appreciate the attempted improvements in the system. That has been a major gripe of mine when dealing with reservation folks. It's good that this service is coming on board. One of the problems I have right now with the agents is the amount of chatty scripting that is included. And many times when, at the end, they have this long script that they read, I don't have time to listen to all of that because it's the same thing they say every time. So I rudely have to hang up on them. I don't like doing that, but I have to. I mean, I listened to it the first time. I'm not listening to it a third, fourth, fifth, and tenth time. With the automated system, I want to know if you don't want to have to listen to your previous trips, because you know for sure it's a new trip, is there some way to short circuit that so you don't have to go through, the excess chatter? On the issue of Uber, Uber works well when Uber works well. I'm having challenges, however, with the Uber links. Lots of other people are having that problem as well. The link that you want to use to click for your ride is the link that has the address in it. And that one just doesn't work unless you do some fancy stuff, which I have to do. The one that does work is the one that doesn't have your address. And so you have to keep guessing as to, well, is this the right one or is this the right one? Something's got to be done. Uber is too much of a high-tech company to be giving us this kind of shabby linking option. It seems very archaic. Regarding the rewriting of the bylaws, I am extremely concerned about that because the current chair, Pat Sheehan is involved in this, and his chairmanship is under question. I don't appreciate someone whose eligibility is in question being involved with rewriting the bylaws. Also, I believe that members of the public should be included in the writing of the bylaws, because when you look at the bylaws as they currently exist, they're very anti-public. All of the rules as it exists are very friendly towards the members and very unfriendly towards the public. I'm not going to go into chapter and verse, but just look at the rules governing the RAC in terms of how they treat their customers, their members of the public, and you look at the rules for Metro Access meetings in terms of how they treat the public. In RAC, the members of the public go first. The members of the committee go last in commenting, and that is something that needs to be corrected. And if only the members of the committee are writing the bylaws, we will continue to get that kind of substandard accommodation and disrespect from the AAC. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next on the list, Anu, I believe is we have Gwendolyn, is that correct?
Gwendolyn Smith?
Yes. I just have a question, and I'm not sure if I direct it here or not. I take Metro Access, and my question is with the cancellations. I have a job where my relief can call and say that she's not coming in an hour prior to the date, the time that is due. And so when she calls and I call to reschedule the ride for 8 hours later, I'm charged with cancellation, not the fee, but I received letters saying that I didn't follow the 2 hour cancellation, which is true, but this falls up under, this is not my fault, and so I'm wondering, is there a way for me to possibly get an exemption when this happens, because I can't leave my job until I'm properly relieved. And a lot of times that is not until 8 hours later.
Ms. Anderson, right. You want to respond to it?
Well, let me just respond quickly and say, I can certainly say under my tenure, I've probably been the most liberal person when it comes to Metro Access suspensions. We're not going to let you off if you're abusing it, but a case like you just explained, and we can see where the trips that you've canceled are coming from. These are circumstances beyond your control. The waiver would be suspended. I mean, I could be wrong. I can't remember every single customer's every single exact details, but I do not believe you have been suspended any time recently. You probably have gotten like warning letters or things like that, but if you simply call the appeal officer and explain, as you just did, since I've arrived, I mean, the suspension numbers for things like no-show late cancellations have been few and far between, because we've been very lenient, but we will do what we have to do if somebody appears to be abusing our leniency. However, I would not worry if I were you about being suspended from the service. Just let us know what the circumstances are once you receive a warning or even a suspension letter, and that will be withdrawn. But
I have called when I received the letter, and I talked to the lady and I explained it to her. And then she says, well, she can't do anything about the one previous, but on the days I can call. And when I did, she told me that she can't do anything because it's 2 hours, because I call within the 2 hour window.
Right. See again, what you're talking about the dispatch side. I'm talking about the appeal officer. Once you receive a warning letter or even a suspension letter, we have the power to decide whether or not we're going to enforce the suspension. And when we hear situations like you've explained, well, let me just ask, I mean, have you been suspended anytime in the last 5 years?
No, I haven't, but I've called the the appeals. The appeals. I even okay. left a message. I left the dates. No one has answered one of my calls. And no when problem. I talked to someone on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying though is you confirm my point. I would not worry about the suspension right now because you're not going to be suspended for that situation. And again, since I've been here, I've made suspensions a very rare situation. And when it comes to no-show late cancellations, it's almost non-existent. We use suspensions for people whose behaviors have disrupted the service in a significant way or have caused harm to another customer. I can't give you what we call a waiver because then I'd have to do that for everybody. But I would just say for you, Ms. Smith, especially given your circumstances, and as you point out, you haven't been suspended, and I can almost assure you, if it's related to no-show late cancellations, you're not going to be suspended from the service.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Anu, next person. We only got 10 minutes left.
Right. So
who's next on my list? That's from the public.
Next person is on phone. Area code 443. Go ahead and start speaking. I'll turn on the timer when you start speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Nikki Singh, and I have a related concern about no-show and cancellations. Essentially, what happened was, this was like at the end of August, and I'm still trying to figure out, because no one's gotten back to me, but the basic facts are that I wasn't able to, I never received the courtesy call. The call I did receive was from dispatch. I thought that was the courtesy call, so I didn't take it because it was just automated. And by the time I arrived for the ride had been canceled. But the driver was still there. His car was still there. He had no other passengers, and he didn't have any customers in the next, hour or so. And he wanted to give me the ride, but he couldn't because it was canceled and I wasn't on his manifest. And so I tried to call the central call center. The driver also tried to call the central call center in an effort to kind of reverse the cancellation and reinstate the ride. But no one was able to reverse that, even though there was time and resources for that driver to give me that ride. And no other customer would have been affected. What happened was, after about 15 minutes, again, the driver was still here, even though the ride was canceled. We just couldn't make it work. So eventually I had to, go to my destination with a taxi. And I'm just trying to get some resolution for all that happened. Maybe in the form of getting the no-show removed from my record and maybe some ride credits. But this is it's just kind of been an ongoing thing, and I'm just trying to get some resolution. And this is all from, there's a complaint on file, and this is from August 30th. I think that's the date. So if there's anything I can do, that would be just helpful to know, because I'm not really sure what more the driver and I could have done other than to call and just kind of get this cancellation reversed and the ride reinstated, because it just seems the bureaucracy didn't allow for us to reverse this error.
30 seconds.
Thank you. We need to get to the customer's response.
Okay. Did you want to go ahead and do that?
We can follow up with her. Ms. Singh and I speak on a regular basis, so we'll follow up on this particular trip to see what the OCC's perspective was on why a trip wasn't rescheduled.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Next,
thank you.
Next
is Amanda Hillman, followed by Wilma Smith. So, Amanda Hillman, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have one quick comment about the online scheduling. I do use that on a regular basis, and just as what was already said, it keeps timing out, and I've been on the line sometimes up to 45 minutes to 50 minutes trying to get one trip booked, and And that's kind of frustrating. I thought it was because I was using my iPad. Would that matter? Even though I'm going on the website to book, I'm going through my iPad. Is that something that needs to be tested separately, or is that being tested with the problem with the database?
Ms. Williams-Hall, if you want to respond to that. Oh, you're on mute.
My apologies, but absolutely, yes. So all of those outstanding issues are currently being addressed in our upgrade that's being installed. And hopefully by October 2nd, you'll see those things this way.
Okay, and then one quick question or comment about the Uber. I had an Uber scheduled, and when I called for the Uber, it was like 9 minutes on the way and 9 minutes, and got to 3 minutes, and I was outside standing waiting. 20 minutes later, it was still saying that it was 3 minutes away. So I tried to call the driver, I tried to text the driver. Apparently, I don't know, it was blocked or something, and my call wouldn't go through. So I called the Metro Access dispatch, and I was then told, well, he's only 2 or 3 minutes away. And I was trying to explain to the person that, yes, I know that. It's been that status for about 20 minutes now. What can we do? Do you need to cancel or send somebody else or what? Well, he's probably just stuck in traffic. I said, I understand it, but I need to get to my appointment. So the person said, well, just hold on. He'll be there in about 2 or 3 minutes. And pretty much that was the end of the call. So then again, another 15, 20 minutes beyond that, it was still 3 minutes away. And when I checked with Siri said there was no traffic. The traffic was light. So I don't know what the deal was, but I ended up calling back again, and I ended up canceling my appointment because at that point I was late. So, I spoke to the gentleman who, took care of me. He just canceled everything. But I was just wondering, if you call and you tell the dispatcher that it's been a status of 2 or 3 minutes for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, why would they just say, well, he's only 2 or 3 minutes away? It's like, I don't know if she wasn't listening or what. How could that be handled?
All right. Thank you.
All right. I want to take the...
it can be handled. I mean, the way you did, and we can find out, if we get more details on that specific trip. The dispatcher probably was looking at the system and going by with the system, because you could imagine that there'll be other calls, and you weren't one of them, but there could be plenty of people calling and saying the driver's taking too long and the system is showing that they're only a couple of minutes away and it could create more havoc. In that case, there is the opportunity for independent judgment by the dispatcher. I would have to see more specifics about the case. I would just say again, as a reminder to all customers about the Uber experience, I think it's been a good experience for the most part for most customers. There are times that they're going to be rather inconvenient for you. I mean by that. And unfortunately, that is the nature of that service, where drivers in that world have a lot of control. If they accept a trip and they really didn't want it, if they want to sit, if they want to go get gas, that's part of the Uber experience that not only you as a Metro Access customer who's opted into that program experience. I was just here Saturday in Washington, D.C., took an Uber because of the traffic to go to a H3 festival. I experienced it as well. It is the nature of the business. And all I can say is we continue to stress to Uber that, hey, we're giving you a lot of business. It's a great opportunity. But we do not run Uber, and when customers, if it becomes too much of an inconvenience, if a trip is too essential, we're here. And you could always say, I would rather not, even though I'm on the Uber list, I'd rather have this trip on Metro Access.
All right.
Cheers,
All right.
Simon.
So it is close to 6 o'clock. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hands still. I know we can't go past 6. Anu, how do you want to handle this, Mr. Blake?
So Chair, well,
can we ask the interpreter? I mean, Anu, are we allowed to ask the interpreter if they can stay a little longer?
I cannot. I have another job I have to do.
Okay, so that's the answer to that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thank you. I would ask all the members of the public and AAC members, please send in your comments either via email or call and leave a message for us. The email is metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you.
All right, a motion to adjourn, and all those who do bring those responses, your concerns will be investigated, and Metro Access staff will get that list of Metro Access will get back to you and respond to those concerns. And this will be part of amended to the record as part of this.
Can you ask Anu to send the email address?
If you can drop it in the link, Anu, before everyone leaves, those who need to still, if you give them that contact information, both phone and the email address for their concerns, and so they get a chance to speak.
Absolutely. And I will also send an email to all the AAC, all the AAC members can directly email it to me.
All right, but they're members of the public, so if you can drop that in the link so they have that before they leave.
I am. And type fast enough.
All right. So she dropped in the link, the phone number, and if you can drop the email address, that'd probably be great for
Wants to do one it that second. Way. Okay, so we have the phone number and the email address.
All right, on that, we're going to adjourn this meeting. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. Again, if you still have comments, you have in the chat the email address and the phone number. Please do so, and we'll be part of this record for today's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Anu.
Bye.